email, Robert, but
hey,
good program, and thank you for your work.
Thank you, Theodora.
Okay.
Theodora Curie.
Bye-bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, covering a variety of topics today, ranging from medical marijuana, jury nullification, the orange alert that all of us are on to stop the war in Iraq. We don't have much time to do it. February 16th, there's a mass rally in San Francisco on Saturday. Am I right on that one? I think it's the 16th is Sunday, isn't it? Today is the 9th? No, I guess, yeah, 16th is a Sunday. And I guess in Santa Cruz on Saturday on the 15th, there'll be a big anti-war rally. And on the 18th, there's going to be a town hall meeting in the Del Mar Theater at 6:30. Good work, activists, for all your phone calls into Riley and Representative or Misrepresentative Sam Farr, finally getting these two politicians off their butts to get this meeting together. I thought we'd be in the middle of a war by now. I'm pleased that we're not, and I think one of the reasons we're not is because some of us are so active, you know, thanks to the Susan Zemans and the many other people who've been out there, often as lone individuals with signs, raising the warning, calling out the cry, holding up the alert. But we are at orange alert. I don't mean Ridge's orange alert. I mean the activist orange alert, which says there is a high likelihood of war. And that is something that I can say the words, but they don't mean anything to me because I've never been under falling bombs. I've never been, you know, dealing with uranium-depleted weapons. I've never seen children dying around me. That's what we're going to be seeing in the next 2 weeks unless we do something. We have an incoming call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Here, I got a prediction to make, Robert.
Go for it.
I predict that in another, when would the average kindergartner be graduate?
I'm sorry, say that again?
When would the average kindergartner be graduating right now from high school?
Oh, 12 years from now.
12 years from now?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that would be 2014?
Mm-hmm.
2014.
Mm-hmm. 2014, 2015.
15, class of 20, okay. So we're not going to really be able to have that strong of a military then. Because they're closing the schools, man. They ain't gonna be no more. They ain't gonna be smart kids, man. They're not gonna have a recruiting base. Don't worry about it, man. It's gonna take care of itself.
No. The kids we can put in the army collar. Those who need the proper education will get their training in private schools and, of course, in the faith-based.
Robert, you need to
schools.
Catch a clue, dude. They're building prisons. What else do I need to say?
Those prisons are great places for making license plates.
They already know where these kids are going, man.
Come on now. That's the housing of tomorrow. What is wrong with you, caller?
Hey, you got to get retro, Robert. Build prisons, man. Take care of the schools.
Well, I appreciate
the
thought.
Because you get an education in prison.
There you are. You see, it's the new schools. Yeah. Prisons. There you are.
All right.
Hey. Anything else? Thank you. Wow. Actually, I had a hope to get someone from the Aptos walkout of a week ago on the air. And I wasn't able to do it. We put through a couple calls. We called Lucy Kinmitzer, who's a teacher there, and she did some scouting around, but I don't think she found anybody. And I put through a call to a website. But I did note this letter. I think it was in the Sentinel. I'm going to read it. It's from APT. It was posted on February 6th. Actually, I think it was on the website, Sentinel website. My son went to this walkout. This is when the Aptos students walked out and missed the whole day because of it. They walked out as a protest against bad food and sort of essentially a closed campus where you couldn't leave for lunch. I don't have a problem with him getting detention for cutting school because that's what he did. He had a chance to leave and return to class, but chose instead to stay with the protesters. It was all just too exciting for him to break it off and get back to business. When he did finally decide to return to class after missing 3 or 4 periods, he told me he was blocked by a line of deputies from returning to campus. He and dozens of others apparently were not with the group we saw on the news being herded back up the hill. He called me on his cell phone to tell me that he was being prevented from exiting to the street and walking down the sidewalk to come home. He told me that a deputy told him that the only way he was getting out of there was if a parent came to pick him up. I was at work and not able to pick him up, or I would have then driven him back to school. We're going to interrupt this with this phone call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. Am I on the radio right now?
You are on the radio right now.
Well, this is Leela. You remember me?
I do remember you, Leela.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pardon?
How are you?
Well, I've gone through a lot the last few months getting a total knee replacement.
Aha. Uh-huh.
After domestic abuse.
Oh, boy.
But
well, I remember
still
they were
stuck in the mental health system, and day by day I realized how really corrupt it is and how it's using people, and people, they're living off people's sorrows and stealing money. And like, for instance, my own case, I can't get the social worker to give me my money, and I need some basic things. And I've seen other people that, and a lot of us are feeling really used,
mm-hmm,
by this mental health system, so-called.
Well, I know that SB 1421, to all our horror, passed.
Pardon?
SB 1421, that's the bill that allows involuntary outpatient commitment, needles on wheels. It passed last year at the state level.
I can't hear you. I'm real hard of hearing, and we've been having trouble with our telephone.
I'm sorry about that.
I just wanted to say that little tidbit, and spring's coming soon, so keep up hope.
Hey, thank you for calling, Leela.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And yeah, now might be the time to let other listeners know, to remind you again about something we haven't talked about for a couple months, SB 1421, which is the Needles on Wheels bill, which essentially guts some of the protections that those who are forced with involuntary medication, 72-hour holds, have. It weakens protections, and it has not yet, as far as I know, and again, I haven't been following it very closely, and I'd like to hear reports if anybody knows, it's not been accepted in this county, because there's a county-by-county apparently acceptance system which has to be gone through or process. And I would hope that this county would not, you know, be supportive of such things. But if anybody knows what the situation is for 1421 in this county, please give me a call either on the air. My line is open now. The line here to the studio is open, 427-3772. Or you can call me off-air on the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I'm going to read some more of this letter from the parent of the child, one of the kids who walked off at Aptos to protest the bad food and the restriction to campus. He and dozens of others, chose to leave and return to class, chose instead to stay with the protesters. It was all just too exciting for him to break it off and get back to business. When he did finally return to class after missing three or four periods, he told me he was blocked by a line of deputies from returning to campus. He and dozens of others apparently were not with the group we saw on the news being herded back up the hill. He called me on his cell phone to tell me that he was being prevented from exiting to the street and walking down the sidewalk to come home. He told me that a deputy had told him that the only way he was going to get out of there was if a parent came to pick him up. I was at work and not able to pick him up, or I would have then driven him back to school. I thought the deputy or my son was just BSing, and I didn't believe that they would stop anyone from returning to the school, and told him to try again. After returning home that evening, I found that he was forced, his word, with several others, to jump the fence separating Mariner Way and Aptos Pines Mobile Home Park to escape. My son said there was no other option since they were not allowed to return to the campus and blocked from leaving via Freedom Boulevard in either direction. A friend of his with a car was somehow allowed back on campus to get her car and then allowed to leave the campus. She picked up my son and his friends at the mobile home park and left. Her car was promptly pulled over for having too many passengers and not enough seat belts, and the driver was ticketed for this offense. They were not turned around and sent back to school. The girl left them at the mobile home park until she could return with her mother's car, which had more seats, and they were not stopped as they left the area. I think they should have tried to get back on campus since they were in a car, but they didn't. I want to believe what my son has told me about this incident, but I am torn between whether or not he tried hard enough to get back to school or was he actually prevented from doing so. What I do have a problem with is certain administrators there who lie about how this happened so they won't look like idiots. At least Ms. Modena is willing to take the heat by stating that she is ultimately responsible for the lack of communication. As for her and Mr. Rosengard saying that they had no idea that this was planned, if there were posters up all over the school on Monday advertising the protest that Friday, I think that everyone, including Modena and Rosengard, knew. I have a hard time believing that 200 to 300 students just walked off campus spontaneously after seeing a group of about 50 with signs just before school started. This was planned, and the administration knew it, but chose to stick their heads in the sand in a few other places, too. This was supposed to be an informational picket, but the schools and the sheriff's department's response to it sent it to a whole new level. And that is the next thing that I have a problem with, is all those cops showing up, calling the SWAT team. The children are rioting. I understand that the CHP might have needed some help to control traffic and ensure the kids' safety, but 80 cops? 10 or so should have been enough to do the job, unless, of course, as my son and his friends have said, they were only there to intimidate and harass. That's what it looked like to me, too, from the news reports. One local news outlet said that the deputies were already on duty and nearby anyway, attending some training exercise, so responding to the protest was just a training opportunity for them. How ridiculous is that? Using our children for a training exercise to instill fear and mistrust in law enforcement by pretending, for training purposes only, of course, that this was mass civil disobedience, requiring the law enforcement response that it got? This was an overreaction that I think makes Sheriff Tracy look really stupid. But what is really maddening is to see him blustering in the Sentinel this morning that the parents of all the students who participated might have to bear some of the cost of paying those deputies for doing their damn jobs. If those cops were already being paid for attending training that day, how did they get stuck with any additional costs? There were no additional costs. They were already getting paid for attending their training regardless of where they went to get it. Who the hell does Sheriff Tracy think he is, anyway? Yeah, this was great training opportunity for them, all right. A lesson in how not to overreact to a bunch of teenagers protesting a closed campus, lousy overpriced food, and a lack of parking space at their school. It was also a lesson to a future generation what will happen if they protest. Shame on Sheriff Tracy. And again, we're going to interrupt this for this caller. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert.
Hey there.
It's Tim.
Tim Rinker.
Am I on the air at the moment?
You are completely on the air, and have you been listening to Free Radio?
I haven't.
You are a dog. I mean, let's not say that.
Well, you know, if you know, when people call in and they're listening at the same time, it creates feedback, and that creates a lot of your auditory problems.
Why do you say that?
Because I've heard you do it on this show before.
I believe you. And in fact, I'm glad you're not feeding back. But I know that we spoke earlier. You, of course, are one of the notorious chalk criminals who, I guess, you're going to join Becky Johnson in the Hall of Infamy. Well, she'll join you on February 14th, Valentine's Day, on Friday, when she goes to trial in Department 1 at 10 o'clock in the morning for all those gawky onlookers who want to observe another curious Santa Cruz persecute the activists ritual.
But moving into bubble blowing next.
Ah, so you're going to move from one crime to another. Bubble blowing is also illegal under the new July downtown ordinances, but not, I would add, if you are a professional performer. So perhaps you can get your professional credentials in order there, Rinker.
Yeah.
Well, I understand your birthday is coming around the pike here.
Yeah, tomorrow.
All right, shall we sing happy birthday to you?
No.
Okay. But there's something else happening, I guess, today and tomorrow that you wanted to bring to our attention?
Right. The Peace and Freedom Walk 2003 Peace Walkers are coming through town. And it's 11 people walking from L.A. to Seattle for peace and to protest the U.S. Patriot Act. And walkers include Derwin, White Lightning, Dakota Sioux veteran and treaty activist, and Nepalese Buddhist monk Krishnamoon. And there's going to be a potluck and talk with the walkers tonight at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 515 Broadway in Santa Cruz at 6 o'clock p.m. And they have a website as well, www.peaceandfreedomwalk.org.
You know, I tried that one last night, and it said no such website exists.
Oh, really?
But, you know, you might try it again.
Well, I was able to come up with their cell phone number. So if you want to give them a call, you can talk to them a little bit. Apparently they were on the air the other night with Louis LaFortune.
Huh, okay.
And he just gave me their cell phone. So they're in Santa Cruz now. They stayed here last night, and I'm not sure what they're doing today, but other than just waiting for the potluck.
You want to give out their phone number publicly, or?
Well, I don't know how you want to do it, if you want to take it off the air.
Whichever you prefer. If you want to take it off the air, maybe the thing to do is just call the Huff line and leave it there.
Okay.
And if anybody's, or you can do it on the air. I mean, it depends on what you think they would prefer.
Well, I don't think it would be too big of a deal. I mean.
Okay. Well, then give it to me on the air.
Okay. It's 949.
949.
887.
887.
2842.
2842. 949-887-2842.
Yeah.
That's for the, again, we're talking about the...
Peace and Freedom Walk.
Peace and Freedom Walk, and they'll be showing up at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 6 o'clock tonight. That's at 515 Broadway. So you can go to the 5 o'clock CPRB in Exile at Wired Wash Cafe, which is right next to the Saturn Cafe on Laurel Street at Laurel and Pacific, and then zip on over to check out some of the Peace and Freedom Walkers. Plus, of course, bring a small gift for Tim Rinker, whose birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be appreciated. But, yeah, basically I wanted to throw all my birthday energy into these greeting these Peace Walkers. I went on the Hemp Awareness Walk back in 1995, and we walked from San Diego to Sacramento, telling people about hemp, and we actually met up with another global peace march that was going on at the time that had come from Arizona, and we converged on San Francisco for the 50th anniversary of the United Nations. So, yeah, these things have gone on before, and, you know, sometimes you might think they're don't really do much good, but it's amazing these walkers, how they make connections, and miracles can happen on these walks. And
well, we are at orange alert against the war in Iraq.
Yeah, it's the get high alert.
Well, actually, this is distinguished from Ridge's alert, which is, of course, a peculiar alert, which I think has little to do with anything other than a re-election for the Republican Party. But our orange alert, of course, is to stop the war in Iraq. It looks like it's high alert. There's high likelihood of a war in Iraq very soon. So,
mm-hmm.
Got to get out there and do something about it. And I think supporting our own police oversight group, particularly if we can get one that has some teeth in it, maybe is linked to a website that people can use and is linked to a people's tribunal and is linked to other things, might really be useful, and I think it would be certainly good to get some of the experiences of these Peace and Freedom Walkers at 6 o'clock at the Resource Center. And thanks for calling in, Tim.
Yeah, you should give them a call, Robert. See if you can get a hold of them.
I can't do that on this phone because it's a long-distance number. They have to call me. You better call them and have them call this number, 427-3772.
Okay.
Sound good?
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call in number 427-3772. We have 45 minutes left in the show. As you may remember, our new show times are 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sundays and 6 to 8 in the evenings on Thursdays. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I got my bathrobe at home, trying to fight that sleeping band downtown and all around the town that makes it criminal for homeless people just to survive. And that's still an active law, still being used. Got to fight it. We got to fight at City Council on Tuesday to stop the destruction of the Citizens Police rah-rah board, as I've called it, the Citizens Police rubber stamping board. But it's a board that recently in the last year has taken some steps to try to address, or at least get the council to address, issues of racial profiling, selective enforcement, documenting the use or display of force, and for that reason, they are being ousted. The phony reason is budget, and that's the bad, bogus reason. It's not the real reason, and they aren't really saving much money with the elimination of the CPRB, considering the CPRB is $87,000 a year, $83,000 a year, and the public relations part of the police budget is around $1 million a year. You know, I think not. Been reading a story from a parent, a letter actually, to the Sentinel website. talking about this Aptos High School walkout. I'm going to conclude it now. Shame on Sheriff Tracy for the example he set and the message he sent to our kids and their parents about peaceful protesting. No property was damaged and no one was hurt. Shame on the kids for not going to school after a reasonable amount of time, like right after school started. There definitely should have been a time limit set by the organizers. Perhaps Mr. Rosengard can include organizing techniques and rules of conduct as part of his class curriculum from now on. Any other forum members have students who attend Aptos that have an opinion on this? And I think you can probably go to the Sentinel website and look for that along the right side of the website, and you'll see different threads that you can go to. I'm now going to play a bit more from the San Francisco peace demonstration that happened last January, last month. I was there counting protesters and actually also moving in with the second protest that became took off to the financial district. Some people broke some windows. Other people sort of just did chanting and shouting and confronted the Chronicle for their misinformation. I'm going to play you some of that now. And please call in 427-3772 if you want to raise or comment on any of the issues that you've heard today, and perhaps some that you haven't.
So it's around 15 to 5, walking up California at Montgomery, where the march is turning again. We're kind of snaking through the financial district here. Police are following on bicycles. It's not clear what kind of actions are happening, other than some occasional running activity, where people are running along. Police officers are following on bicycles. Smells like fireworks. And there's still an occasional "No Blood for Oil" again type sign, other anti-Iraqi war signs. "No War" is chalked on the side of several buildings. Sir, what's going on here today?
I couldn't tell you.
I see.
More than you know, probably. I mean... break off march from the anti-war, which is also anti-war. I mean, just a different crowd, different generation.
Yeah, it looks like there's some tickets on vehicles. Let me take a look at one of these. This is a violation written to an SUV driver, bike to work, carpool, and gives the various miserable mileages of the different SUVs. I'll have to keep this. It's in the form of a parking ticket. All right. Looks like Chronicle racks are being overturned. Here's a man standing on top of a Chronicle rack. Sure, aren't you ashamed?
Ashamed of what?
Standing on top of a Chronicle rack. This is our local newspaper.
Oh, my goodness. God almighty, my hands to God. I'm sorry, Bronstein. Please, no.
There you are, a typical example of an unrepentant protester.
Tell them about it.
Mamma mia. Even the Chronicle reporters have something to, say about the Chronicle.
How about that?
Yeah, well.
Look at that.
Any predictions about what's going to happen here in the next few minutes?
I'm following them because I don't know. You know, that's what happens. News, like new. N-E-W, you got the concept?
What is your name?
I'm Tom Abate.
Thank you, Tom. And there are various news racks that seem to be falling here as we proceed. Police tape, some tape is being put on SUVs, suggesting a certain dissatisfaction with SUVs. "No borders, no nations, fuck deportations" is the cry as we walk past the Bank of Canton of California and the International Bank along Montgomery Street. The man is graffitiing on the ATM machine, "Your money or your life." And we're approaching the Bank of America Pyramid Building. Looks like the Chronicle rack has bitten the dust along with the Examiner wreck. A sad moment for these proud newspapers. New York Times is being looted as well. And flung into the air. Littering, certainly, of the most contemptible sort. Actually, it's the Bay Guardian that is being given free distribution here on the streets. Very free distribution. And a Chronicle news rack is dragged out into the street, left to block the street. As the marchers continue down, what's this street? Looks like Kenneth Charles. Clothier is getting nervous. He's pulling down his metal guard. So we're on Washington Street. What are you saying there?
The police have blocked us up here. Let's see what they're doing. Going past. Well, this is a good place to trap us.
So will we be trapped? That's the question.
Going up, and I think they're going, I don't know where they're going, where the march is going.
And the marchers pausing briefly and now continuing. Oh, you look like an innocent bywalker. Any commentary for Free Radio? She shakes her head. Thank you.
Deportation! Stop deportation!
No borders, no nations. Stop deportation. And looks here at the cross street of San Simé. There's a number of police officers on motorcycles and on horses for the first time. And this is the INS. Apparently the other building I thought was the INS was part of Citicorp. As actually I thought it was, but then I was told it was INS. Now we are at the INS as the sun begins to get lower and lower. And there is some hostility toward the INS there. There's a pounding going on at the INS building. Missiles are being thrown at the INS building, but looks like the building is, windows are shatterproof, or who knows, it might even be bulletproof. I picked up a no blood for oil sign again, I'm not sure why, since it removes my last free hand. The police are pulling out their nightsticks. Going after some of the newspaper people, police motorcycles are now moving in. Surrounding the area. Police are continuing. More police, and again, a number of people are turning over. Bicycles are on the streets. Rushing after the protesters. Many of the police on the sidewalk with their motorcycles. And, police are getting out and they're taking out their nightsticks. They seem to be moving into the crowd now. And one man is being dragged to the sidewalk. Looks like by undercover police officers. Uh, soldiers are pulling out their truncheons, speaking. Chronicle reporter was grabbed by the police.
Stay in the streets and keep moving.
Police officer says stay in the streets and keep moving. And they are lining the curb and request us to stay in the streets. Several people have been apparently been arrested or at least tackled and taken down. It is about five, and individuals are continuing to throw down newspaper racks and proceed and throw the racks into the streets. Sidewalk myself. Police motorcycles are revving up again. USA Today is getting a sad treatment here. And looks like there's a simple vandal. We're now at Pine Street. There go those newspaper racks again. Up, a window has been broken here. Starbucks coffee. Window smashed and it's being graffitied. And we're crossing Pine and Battery. I'm just glad it's not assault and battery. And there is some rage against those newspaper racks. Some demonstrators are carrying a SFPD barricade. And I think I'm going to be heading on now. We're reapproaching Market Street. People are running from the police. At quite a trot. I'm not. I'm walking. Protesters, Pink Bandana was making an explanation to a police officer. Police are racing across the street here and cutting off the protesters who are again going to Market Street.
How about this, guys?
Pretty exciting, pretty pointless in some respects. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. Not bad, though. It gets rid of a little bit of frustration, wouldn't you say? Victoria's Secret! I love it when they try to hang out Victoria's Secret! Too bad they have bulletproof windows on Victoria's Secret. Who knew?
Starbucks apparently does not.
Yeah, good to know.
Indeed.
And the INS building, huh? Didn't that feel good?
There you have it. A satisfied protester. And the protesters are back on Market Street again. Heading up the way.
Market here, right there?
This is Market here. And we're off of Market Street again. I'm with Cassandra Brown. Cassandra, what do you think of all this?
I think it's great. You know, I'm starting to admire, I'm admiring anarchy more and more. And making me feel like maybe this is something. Maybe this is something that'll stop it. And it definitely feels like a sort of like a practice run for when George Bush goes to, if he goes to Iraq. How we can shut down San Francisco.
Looks like police officers are headed this way. Coming through here. There they are.
Yeah, they got attacked by this one guy who's brown with a brown-skinned man. Of course, the cop tried to run him over.
Well, there are too many of their kind already, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
In that was the tail end of the protests in San Francisco on January 18th. Played some of that a couple of weeks ago when the major protest, which was simply kind of a stately, massive, several hundred thousand march up Market Street happened, and presumably on the 16th there's going to be an even larger rally, and on the 15th, of course, there'll be rallies across the nation against the Bush war in Iraq. And I believe Cassandra Brown was on Voices from the Village recently. I think, however, she was talking about prisons. Not sure. No, I think actually it's a Club Cruise. Club Cruise on Tuesday night will have Cassandra Brown and Amy Courtney, who have become quite famous locally for challenging in the courts and with direct action the attempt to censor anti-war protest banners on Caltrain overpasses and allow flags to stay but other anti-protest banners to go. And those two, through assistance of attorneys and through direct action, were able to get rulings that's a no-no. I'm not quite sure how effective that's been in practice, but it was inspirational in many ways. And I believe the issue of the Iraqi war will be coming up on Tuesday at 7 o'clock on Channel 27 on community television on Becky Johnson's Club Cruise. I think Nick Whitehead will be the host if you want to tune in to that. Also, I want to remind you that this afternoon, Wired Wash Cafe is the place to go if you want to be a part of mobilizing a resistance and response to the Riley, Porter, Kennedy, Premack, Rotkin, Matthews, Fitzmaurice Council's unanimous demolition of the Citizens Police Review Board, which is coming up on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. You can always, of course, give a call to the City Council at 420-5017 and leave them a message. We need a stronger police review. We need real reform in the police department. We need an end to racial profiling and selective enforcement. We need some rational community participation, not laws that simply profit merchant overlords downtown. And that you can give that message again, 420-5017. Or you can call Riley for your own private 15 minutes. She will give you 15 minutes of fame. You want to chat with her on a weekday, usually in the afternoon between 1 and 2 or 2 and 3, I believe, and I think it's Monday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and you can do that by either calling the City Council offices, 420-5017 or 5020, or you can go into the City Council offices, which are across from the library downtown, main library. You can call Riley directly on her line at 420-5022. And as I mentioned before, I want to commend her, in spite of my disagreement with her on many points, for responding fairly promptly to my phone calls recently, although she didn't do so a couple weeks ago. She's making up for it now. She is responding to a recent phone call in which she informed me that HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, will get 5 minutes at the public hearing on the Police Review Board demolition, which is coming up, as I mentioned, Tuesday, sometime after 7 o'clock. And I'm going to try to actually go online in the next few minutes to give you more of a specific idea of that. Riley is also, I also encourage other people who are members of organizations, if they want to speak on the police review issue, to call Riley at 420-5022 and request your five-minute time slot. It's traditionally at public hearings until Riley began to act otherwise. It was actually in Crone as well. It was 3 minutes for individuals and 5 minutes for organizations. That was always the amount of time allowed. Though when I called Leslie Cook, city clerk, she told me, oh, that's not required. That's not a part of the law. That's not a part of the council handbook. But it had been the case for years. And what was Riley doing? Suddenly seizing all that time, stealing all that time from the public and giving it to the city council members to essentially, which was most ironic and most annoying, to blather about a done deal that they'd agreed to in secret before anyway. And by that I mean not that the entire council violated the Brown Act explicitly by having a secret meeting, no, but they they had a secret ad hoc committee meeting where the whole proposal for the demolition of the CPRB was written up by Dick Wilson without any kind of public input, without any kind of CPRB input, and then just passed by the city council 7-0 after they spent an hour and 45 minutes of public time listening to them talk and limited the public debate to about half an hour to 45 minutes. Standard city council practice, but now apparently Riley is responding to the reality as the tradition says. You give organizations 5 minutes and individuals 3 minutes, and you don't just sort of count hands and sit and decide how much time you want to cut off based on how many people are speaking. Of course, she can always be overruled by the rest of the council on this, and it doesn't really matter a hell of a lot if they've already made up their minds beforehand. So the real question for us is not what's happening on Tuesday, though I encourage people to come to that meeting and speak up, but what's going to happen on Sunday today at the CPRB in exile. What are we going to do to get some kind of process going, which is, A, allows for open public hearings, probably by an independent group rather than a city council group, two, that I would say sets up policy statements every month, so we can actually start beginning a real public debate on police department abuses. And I don't just mean abuses by individual officers. I mean institutional abuses like racial profiling, like selective enforcement. And speaking of selective enforcement, on February 13th, that's Thursday, that's when the new move-along rule goes into effect. For those of you who had kind of forgotten that there was such a thing, it was passed in December and in January in these super short, super swift, wham-bam, thank you, ma'am kind of legislative abortions, might be the way to put it, because they were not did not allow for any kind of real public discussion or debate, and the public that did debate it, it was 80 or 90% against it, and they were completely ignored by the city council, including the downtown commission, which was appointed by the city council and spent months looking into the issue. We have this move-along law, and we have no exemptions. They promised exemptions to be coming back at the council meeting, although the downtown commission found that they couldn't reasonably propose exemptions because it would put too much pressure on a few merchants, because it seemed to be favoritism, because it just didn't seem to work. It crowded everybody into the same areas. Exempted zones would mean, well, sidewalks are generally barred from display devices set up by musicians and by tablers, particularly by political tablers, since there's some new kind of special deals for musicians. Except in the exempted zones, like, you know, in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, perhaps, where they would, because it's traditional, allow you to set up tables, even though you'd be closer than 10 feet to a crosswalk kiosk, building front, telephone, bench, etc., etc. But those exempted zones have not appeared because Kennedy and Premack have not come up with them, according to Riley, in the same message she told me I was getting some time to speak on the Citizens Police Review Board, or Huff was. So all we know is that on February 13th, it will be a crime to set up a political table for more than 1 hour at any particular place on the mall, and you can't come back for 24 hours, and you'll have to move 100 feet, and you also have to be outside of the forbidden zones. And the forbidden zones are 10 feet from all these different obstacles and rule out about 75 to 80% of the sidewalk. More, actually, if you consider that there are bicycle racks all over the place where you don't have to be 10 feet from a bicycle rack, but if you're too close to it, you're going to be causing difficulties in terms of people who need to park their bikes. So the whole thing is, it's very interesting. It's happening at a time when political protest is hopefully swelling, although I heard a gloomy report from diehard and hardworking activist John Teelking, who is out there at Capitola Streets and near the 41st Avenue Mall. Actually, it wasn't Capitola. It was in Capitola at 41st and some cross street I can never remember, but it's down there by the mall. And there were only just him and another person on Saturday hoisting the anti-war signs. While at the same time, it's amazing to watch the reading the polls in the L.A. Times today. The Sunday L.A. Times states that there's still a significant majority of people opposed to any immediate war in spite of the fact that they believe Colin Powell. But nonetheless, they believe that the best approach is not to go to war. So we are getting the move-along law on the 13th. I will probably be going to jail on the 14th if although who knows, because Becky Johnson, as I've mentioned, my co-activist, is going to trial for chalking at 10 a.m. in Department 1, and I encourage people to come to that trial. That's Joseph's Court. That's the same Joseph who didn't feel that Camp Paradise's living situation presented a necessity for the people who were there, and found that there was no necessity for a Camp Paradise, even though the homeless shelter, the ISSP program, was sending people to Camp Paradise because they had no room. Nor have we heard that Emily Riley has made any emergency provisions to deal with the situation once the armory closes down and Bush goes to war in the next couple weeks, unless we can stop him. Orange alert, stop Bush's war. We have about 20 minutes left in the show. The show normally was going till 1:30, but we moved up. We are now from 9:30 to 1 o'clock every day on the show. Again, the Citizens Police Review Board in Exile will be meeting at 5 o'clock today, and I think it looks to be an interesting meeting. Mark Halfmoon, the chair of the former board, is presumably going to be there. Perhaps the vice chair, Brent Faust, will be there. Numerous
we're talking with Dennis Adams of the Potter's Inn. What brings you back to the... You're sullying the downtown with these ne'er-do-well individuals. Look at this festival. Look at that hair color.
He hasn't gotten any
Robert.
Styling. I mean,
Robert, you know.
Of course he
did. What brings you back to this neck of the woods?
You moved to the town clock, and now you're back here in Pacific.
Town clock wasn't the place for us. The Lord wanted us here, and we went down to the town clock to try to appease some of the things, but we didn't appease anything. We were just got out of the will of God going down there. Went down to where all the activists and the liberals go. We're down here in the mall now where all the rest of the ordinary folks go, and we're just bringing the gospel back down here.
These snakes have driven you out of the town clock, for heaven's sake.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I felt like I was on display
right. At
the town clock. Cars would go by like we were in a zoo instead of feeling like the love of God was being shown, or even you, Robert, wasn't coming down to visit us at times.
Well, I get a little older, you know. What can I say?
Pretty far.
Here, you find you're getting more people here now that you move back?
Oh, yeah, immediately. Probably, I'd say, 3 times the amount immediately.
How many were you feeding at the clock?
Well, probably about 75 to 100, and we're back up. We've had about 200 today already, 250.
Is that partially because it's toward the end of the month, or do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not going to say that, definitely, even though I thought today we wouldn't have anybody here because it was the Super Bowl. You know, last year we didn't have that many because it was Super Bowl.
Well, we have, you know, every other homeless person has a TV.
I was surprised me that there was a lot of people who found a TV last year. You know, maybe their team isn't playing this year. Who knows?
I know nothing. How about the merchants, who some of whom expressed some concern about your hobo attracting activities?
Well, this is our country, our sidewalks, our city, and it's not owned by merchants. It's owned by the people, and God's people especially have a right to walk wherever they want.
And indeed, we are all God's people.
Exactly, and we need to have the ability to show that love and to be there and to help people, and there was people in need. And obviously, to show up and have 250 people show up out of nowhere, guys that did tarot cards moved out of our way and let us have our spot back, no problem, and they came and ate.
That same man got a ticket from Candy Jackson because he gave a reading, a spiritual reading to a person, who, and then asked him for some money, and Candy Jackson immediately issued a complaint for panhandling.
Well, that's terrible. She wanted the reading for free, huh?
Well, she was trying to. I mean, there are competitive spiritual reading. I haven't seen them, of course, but I don't know. Maybe she feels the spirit of them all, shoes and trinkets, or I should say more in love with the spiritual readings. So, any complaints from police, hosts, merchants?
No. We've been back. It's been going great. We prayed before we came down, and we really believe. We'll be here next Sunday, and every Sunday. We're never going back to the clock tower again.
And what about your morning meal at the Loudoun Nelson?
That's going great. Feeding about 100 people there. Been down I probably just because of the month and the Super Bowl and things like that.
11 o'clock in the morning every Sunday.
Yeah, 11 o'clock every Sunday in church and stuff. So it's going well.
Photo ID not required.
No photo ID, never with me.
No fingerprints necessary.
No fingerprints, everything.
What about an arrest record?
No arrest record, nothing. All you do is have to show up, and you can drive up in a Mercedes. It doesn't matter to me. If you want food, we'll help you.
Send a word to George W. We'll get to come up.
Oh, now, come on now.
Go ahead and bite them.
Thank you.
So we're here talking to two criminals who are leaning, as I am, against the building, but they are in a seated position. Your name, sir?
Tell it.
And you're a man who's, how would you describe your dress?
Dirty.
You got kind of you got patches on your clothes, you got a leather jacket, you got boots. What do you think of the Potter's Wheel feeding deal?
The what?
Feeding thing.
Oh, I think it's nice. I think it's good.
Are you guys new in town?
Yeah. Been here for a couple days.
Welcome to Santa Cruz.
Thanks.
No hassles from police?
A little bit.
What happened?
I don't know, these hasslers were sitting on the street, beige and stuff like that.
How long ago?
A couple of days, I guess.
Did they tell you to move on? What actually did they say?
Pretty much just like, you guys can't do that here. You guys are going to have to take that somewhere else. Leave, go,
Did they then leave, or did they wait for you to leave?
They waited. They waited for us to leave.
What did you do?
Packed up my stuff and left.
But here you are again, scoffing at the authorities, leaning against a pot, and seated on the sidewalk. Shocking.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Thank you. We have a man back from Pennsylvania. Your name, sir?
Alex.
And you were in Santa Cruz 3 years ago?
Yes, I was.
What were you up to then?
I'm originally from the area, so just living here.
What kind of changes do you see?
Actually, within the last 3 years, I'm surprised to find out a lot of people that I've known have actually died. A lot of the young people.
Such as?
Or have left. A guy named Scarecrow. A friend of mine named Scarecrow.
Not sure I know him, but maybe.
He was a colorful street person. Popular. About 30 years old.
Anybody else?
A few other people that are just personal friends of mine. But I noticed a few changes anyway, besides all that.
What do you see?
I see seems like there's less recreational activity, more business down here than ever before, it seems like. I don't know.
Yeah. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you very much.
So here we have a group of drummers. Looks like three women and one man with a display device within 14 feet of a crosswalk. Burn down the Bush Foundation. Who knows? Who cares? What's your name?
Tika. Amber. Danielle.
Peter. So we got the women are drumming and the man is doing the tinkling with the bell. And there's some money in the pot here, which I am afraid I'm going to have to add to. You're welcome. Any hassles from police?
No.
Any cops walking by?
They walked by, but they didn't hassle us, thank God.
Cool. Thank you. John Telfair is walking by with a sign, opposed Bush's war against Iraq, no blood for oil. Hi, John.
What did you say?
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I was out in the sun too much yesterday. I almost got sunstroke. So I'm not feeling as good as I should.
Sure, you don't sit down holding up that sign.
I know. I've got to be very, very careful. Well, I also have my panhandle sign. So I'm gonna put this on the...
Better not mix your signs.
Well, I do sometimes, but whatever the case, I'm unalterably opposed to what's going on. It's he's turned this country basically into a fascist state. I see great parallels with Nazi Germany.
Tomorrow, as you know, is the first inspection report by Blix, and then the State of the Union address. Perhaps we'll be hearing bombs over Baghdad thereafter, hopefully not.
Well, all I know is that I know that Hitler asked for complete power in order to get the godless Bolsheviks under control.
The Reichstag fire has to be sold.
And so the various parties, like the Democrats and the Republicans, gave Hitler all power temporarily to keep the godless Bolsheviks from the east from destroying Germany.
I hate the Juden. All I want is peace.
Tennessee, a little piece of Poland, a little piece of Czechoslovakia, a little piece of Iraq.
So that's exactly what Bush has done with the with that law he had passed through that gives him power to go to war without Congress or anything else. So there's a great comparison about Fuhrer Hitler and Fuhrer Bush.
Here, here. Thank you, John. We have one of those criminal jugglers I've heard so much about downtown. It's actually juggling with a sticking. I'm not sure what we call this. Sticking it to the stick-a-rooneying. In any case, it involves a very careful amount of balance using two sticks, three sticks actually, two where the third stick is sort of juggled from stick to stick, twirled and so forth. How's it going there, stick twirler?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's your name, sir?
Nice day.
Dirt. I see you have, are these your signs here, juggling sticks?
They are some signs that I created.
And have you been hassled by police for displaying a sign on public property?
Well, I haven't encountered any.
And they passed by and ignored it?
No, I...
Just arrived. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just wondering what this is. Just the facts, man.
Life is good, you know. I'm not really bugging people, and I'm good to people as they walk by, and I leave people, you know, alone and don't pressure them. And,
How are people treating your act? Any donations or comments?
I got a few people to play. It's fun. You know, get some smiles going and, like, teach people what juggling's all about.
We're here at the corner of, I guess this is Church and Pacific. Thank you very much. All right. Here we have some criminal bubble blowers who are blowing bubbles on the avenue. This man is obviously a former criminal. Now he's back to his old tricks, blowing bubbles. Sir, do you have a license to blow these bubbles? Are you a professional bubble performer?
I guess I'm both.
Well, at least you've acknowledged your guilt. I'll be sending the sergeant over shortly to talk to you.
My regret.
Thank you. And in fact, it is true. It is illegal to blow bubbles on the mall unless you are, quote, a professional bubble performer or a street bubble performer. That's still legal. It is still legal to lean against a building. It's okay.
Well, here in front of Borders, it's about, I guess, goodness, 3:30, something like that. I would guess. I'm not sure. Got to get a watch. You have a guitar case next to you leaning against public property, sir, a bench.
It also says Free Radio Santa Cruz on it, so technically it's a political display.
A political display on public property, which, of course, is a two strikes and you're soon out. And you are also a known musician. What do you have to say about that?
Some people know me. Yes, that's I guess what I have to say about that. I didn't play in front of Borders, so I played in front of New Leaf today. I've got a standing command performance by the or permission to play next to Sushi Now, and so I play there. The people in New Leaf don't seem to have a problem with Campesito. They seem to like it, and it doesn't seem like the cops want to mess with me.
Well, I've noticed a general loosening up of the police in the last couple of weeks. And they tell you, before the screws come down on February 13th, which is when, of course, the new 14-foot, actually 10-foot extensions go into effect for tailors and performers.
Yeah.
Say again, Phil.
Oh, are you running? Well, I've played a lot with the language of my display in reference to selling CDs. A judge told me that I had to make a display that said I'd let him go for any donation. So I did that for a while, and then the cops still said that that wasn't legal enough, so... My display now says something to the effect of, attention, due to the silly laws of Santa Cruz and the police of Santa Cruz being unable to find any crime to fight, these CDs are against the law. Please do not tempt me to a life of crime by buying them. And,
people have been tempting you?
I don't know. You see, it's all very covert. It's like an Underground Railroad thing. I close my eyes, CDs disappear, and the guitar case fills with money.
Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
A coincidence? But, you know, right there, I am discouraging the public from buying this contraband and telling them the illegality. So I think if they did arrest me for such a thing, which they don't seem to want to do, they've read the sign, they seem to turn the other way, kind of shaking their head and walk down the mall, going, oh, shit, what are we going to do about that? It would be hysterical if they drug me up before a judge with that as a piece of evidence, trying to say that I am attempting to distribute illegal merchandise.
Perhaps I could inspect some of this so-called contraband. Do you have any with you?
Well, I do. I have the Phil Free solo album, which is new.
Yeah.
I'll show you.
We're going to take a look at the some of the infamous CDs here. Perhaps we can pick up some police activity here.
You'll love the cover.
Fill-free retail. Live at Senator's Benefit 202. How many are on this particular?
I think 7, 8, something like that. I got a bonus track of Have a Happy Fucking Day on this.
Have a Happy Fucking Day. What about your earlier album? Is that with you too or not?
That is sold out at this time.
Heaven's sakes. I guess the 17 albums I purchased have all been distributed.
Yes, I need to reprint. I can't say sales are up, but CDs disappearing and money filling up the guitar case is up as a result of my new display idea. So good marketing.
Any comments from the hosts or other music lovers as you've been playing on?
People stop really frequently to at least read the display. They laugh. They have a really good time about it. Hosts read it and again, you know, shake their heads in disgust and go wandering down the street miffed. And that's good. That's exactly the effect I was looking for. People love it. People in power don't love it because they don't know how, you know, they don't know how to exercise their power over me with such language.
Well, I know that not only have you been engaging in criminal behavior by displaying merchandise, which you've talked about now, but you've also been having the effrontery to play within 6 feet of a building, and of course that will be expanded to 10 feet on February 13th, and you've also probably played from a seated position, or have you been standing?
I haven't been seated in quite a number of years. I'm not loud enough. I think I am maintaining the proper distance from the buildings, but I think it's really going to bite them in the ass. I think it causes me and other musicians to project our voices towards the building, making us louder. We are also now a distraction away from the merchandise in the window. I used to just love playing with a bunch of fancy trinkets behind me in the windows, and people would stop, they would look at me, and they would look at the stuff behind me. You know, I think business owners that don't want crowds of people staring at their shops need to go back to business class. This is very bad for business.
Maybe you can get them to pay you stipends for standing at the window.
But I don't think that they have the ability to authorize me to stand in front of the window based on the...
Should we say money could appear in your guitar case and you could appear by the window?
Yes, but I'd be violating the law, and I don't think that they can give me authorization to violate the law. I don't think even if a business owner wants to,
well,
they can let you.
Selective enforcement, as we know, which hasn't appeared on the city council agenda in spite of a resolution by the soon-to-be defunct in 2 days CPRB, hasn't appeared on the city council agenda, so I think we can assume that's the official policy of Santa Cruz, selective enforcement, in spite of complaints and concerns. So I think a little selective enforcement here, you know...
Anybody ever tell you you're a conspiracy theorist, man? How can you think that about these nice, wonderful people? Selective enforcement, indeed.
Good point. I'm probably just not getting fucked enough. I'm going to have to get back to work at that particular test.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
How much is this? I don't have a watch. I imagine it's around 4, I'm guessing. We're talking to a street would-be troubadour, Sherry Connable, and composer, who has a new song for us. What is this song, Sherry?
It's called "This Street Is Your Street, This Street Is My Street."
This street is your street, this street is my street.
Good.
What comes next?
I can't sing it.
Well, can you say it?
Let's see. From Water and Mission to Laurel and Broadway, may it be lively, may it be colorful, this street belongs to you and me.
You've got a number of other verses, I take it.
I do.
Will you be bringing that to the death of the city, the CPRB Memorial Funeral on Tuesday?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking if there's a musician I could get.
And that's it for the extended version of Bathroom Spears' Barazza Sides. Coming up next, it's Ruby and Spoon, and they're going to talk to you about what they're going to talk to you about. They're going to play some cool music. Meantime, join me again on Thursday, or see me at the Wired Wash Cafe, where I'm going to try to dismantle the dismantling of the CPRB.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something I think you'll understand. 'Cause you don't have an option. I want to log your land. I want to log your land. I want to log your land. Oh, please say to me, you think a clear cut's grand. To me, make this infertile sand. I'm gonna log your land. Please let me log your land. handyman. And anyway, it'll grow back. So let me log your land. I wanna log your land. I'm gonna log your land. And late at night when all the servants are gone, I go and sit out on my redwood deck alone. That's when I hear her moaning and high-pitched cry.
Trade that's free is what it's supposed to be. Not slavery in sweatshops and prisons, factories, poison the water, land and trees are sold to the slaughter. Corporate greed is trampling human need. Food and seed are twisted for profit. We've sold the part that once was the heart of local economy. Industry, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take our jobs, we want to lose them. Send them south where you can abuse them. Your goodbye left me with kids that cry. How can I parent here without you? Free trade tore apart that once was the heart of our community.
Call to this report that one of our DJs here did yesterday. There was a demonstration of students and teachers in Santa Cruz. I think he said about 400 people demonstrated to save our schools. There's